spending each commercial break drawing inappropriate cartoons. Here's Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, what a treat to have the former hard-hitting backer from the U, the Hall of Fame New Orleans Saint, and a guy who knows a lot about facing the Buckeyes as well. He is Jonathan Vilma, ESPN college football analyst. He's on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Jonathan, we welcome you. Thank you.
No, thanks for having me.
Let me ask you this. Let me take you back because I want to get our listeners a good timeline on this. Okay, so you're a Florida dude. You commit to the U. Did you commit to Butch Davis or to Larry Coker?
I committed to Butch. Second year with Butch. Butch leaves to Cleveland, and then Larry Coker was my coach for the next 3 years.
And you went to the U before, you know, they were coming off some tough times, right? Sanctions were coming afterward. And I'm just curious, at that point, did you ever think about, hey, I don't want to get stuck in this, you know, sanctions stew? And did you ever think, or were you always going to Miami?
Always going to Miami. I grew up watching Hurricanes football since I was 8 years old. So as soon as they came knocking, it was a done deal. I was going to Miami.
That's fantastic. We're on with Jonathan Vilma, former Miami Hurricane NFL vet and current ESPN college football analyst. And so, you know, at hand, the committee, the selection committee, the second one comes out tonight. Obviously, there's a little bit of a shakeup there. You've got the Bama loss, Penn State losing to Minnesota. You know, who do you think, I guess, the committee will put in as their four top teams at this point?
Well, I would, obviously, it's an educated guess. I don't know what they would do, but I would venture to say that they would put Georgia at number four, slide down Alabama to number five, and keep Oregon at number six, or flip Oregon and Alabama. So you would have number one LSU for beating the number three team in the nation, number two Ohio State, number three Clemson, number four Georgia, and then five or six Alabama, Oregon.
All right, so let's attack that a little bit. What's the case? Are Georgia's wins over Florida and Notre Dame enough to uphold the loss in double overtime to South Carolina? That's the tiebreaker in your mind for the committee, is the quality wins versus Bama's toe-to-toe loss with LSU?
Well, hold on. Let's pause for a second. That's how I think the committee will rank it. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with how those rankings at all. So if we're asking my rankings,
yes,
yeah, I wouldn't have my rankings would be one LSU, two Ohio State, three Clemson, four Oregon, five Georgia, five and six Georgia, Bama, and then you have Minnesota at a very, very close seven, and I would put Oregon above Georgia for what you are just about to say, a loss to South Carolina, who by the way just lost to Appalachian State. So I don't know how anybody's going to tell me anything about that being a good loss while Oregon lost to Auburn. And Oregon, if you want to talk about the eye test, plays very good defense. Whether there's an SEC bias or not, whoever's watching Oregon, they play very good defense. They offensive line, one of the best offensive lines in the country. They run the ball well, and we already know about Justin Herbert. So there is nothing for me that would say that Georgia should be ahead of Oregon right now.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, so locking in on that LSU-Bama game, you know, LSU gets a huge win, jump out to a lead, Bama storms back. Joe Burrow plays really well. Do you think his performance in that game essentially solidified the Heisman Trophy for him?
Yeah, it did. I can't think of any more key games besides Justin Fields having a matchup, a showdown against Michigan at the end. You could possibly put Penn State in there as well. That could kind of give some quiet rumblings for Justin Fields to make it. I mean, it's you talk about the hype. He met all expectations. It was because of his performance, not in spite of his performance, that LSU won the game. And not only passing the ball, we all watched the game. He had key runs in there as well. Everything about his performance says that he is the best player in college football right now. Again, it could change down the road if he has a couple slip-ups. Justin Fields performs well, but I highly doubt it.
He's Jonathan Vilma, ESPN, former captain of that Saints defense back in the Super Bowl run with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. Let me take you back to the rankings real fast, John, and talk about Clemson, because that may be the one area that you agree with the committee if they put them at three. You know, Clemson is a team, and I'm wondering from your standpoint, you know, we talk about wins and losses and quality wins versus quality losses. When you're a team as talented as Clemson and you're being judged against a standard because your schedule isn't very good, if they just sneak by North Carolina, who's now 4-5 on the year, shouldn't that be charged against them like you would charge a quality loss to a team almost, or no?
So what I don't do is look at quote-unquote quality losses. So I always put winning as a premium. I put it at a premium because it's frankly so hard to go undefeated this day and age. So I understand that the win was a close win against an inferior opponent, but they did win the game, and they're still undefeated. And when you look at that game and any other games that they struggled, it wasn't because the team struggled. It was because the quarterback struggled. So it's one thing if you tell me that the Clemson defense was just absolutely atrocious, gave up 500 yards of offense, and they've been struggling all season long. It's another thing when the Clemson defense has reloaded, they play very well, but you have a quarterback that decides to have some errant passes and throws two or three interceptions, making the games closer than what they have to be. So I reference North Carolina, also reference Georgia Tech for times when Trevor Lawrence didn't play well. So now if you have the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, when he does play well, blowouts. So I look at now we're getting a little deeper into it, but I look at it and say the team is pretty damn good. The quarterback just needs to stop trying to do and be everything and just play within the system, and you have a really, really talented team. End of the day, they're undefeated.
Well, and here's what I've said to Bobby over the last week. Clemson, and you're right, Lawrence did not have a good game against North Carolina. I don't think he threw any picks, but he didn't have a good game. But they couldn't run it very well either against Carolina. My point of this is Clemson benefits by not having to play in an LSU-Bama game. Like, they didn't have to play that schedule. So I guess what I'm comparing is if Clemson barely gets by North Carolina, but Bama loses toe-to-toe with the committee's new number one in a shootout, good game, quality game, which one's worse? Clemson playing way down to Carolina, or Bama losing by 5 to the new number one?
So I would disagree with it being toe-to-toe against LSU. That game, I understand the score is 46-41, but you look at one bomb that Tua threw where Stingley is not even looking at the wide receiver when the ball is snapped. So that's an easy touchdown. And then you look at the busted play where Tua, they get the quick touchdown with like a minute left in the game. So I look at the game and say it was a two-score loss, in my opinion. I understand it was 46-41, but it wasn't as close. There was never a time that I ever worried about LSU possibly losing the game to Alabama because Alabama's defense stunk. They were bad, and they missed tackles. They busted coverages. They dropped coverages. It was just bad defense. And so that's where I'm looking at it. If let's just take the names away, LSU, Alabama, and just look at the score and how the game played out. And if we were to put that game in the Big 12, we would be saying that it was a poorly defensed game. Because I've seen the 46-41 barn burners against Texas-Oklahoma matchups, Texas-Kansas State matchups, whoever it is, Oklahoma State matchups. And the first thing we say is the defense stinks. So we have to be objective when we're looking at that SEC game, LSU-Alabama. I understand there was good talent across the board, but let's be honest about what happened defensively to Alabama. They stunk. It was not good defense.
No, you're not wrong. And there's two undefeated teams, you know, nobody's talking about. You did mention Minnesota, who got a quality win against Penn State. A team, another undefeated team in the Big 12 then is Baylor. you know, ranked at number 12. Don't really have any quality wins to this point. Play Oklahoma this week at home in Waco. Do you think they have a shot to beat the Sooners, John, or is this just a fact that they haven't played anybody and that's why they're 9-0?
No, they have a shot to beat the Sooners. The Sooners barely got by Iowa State the week before. And Oklahoma's offense, we know how prolific they are, and Jalen Hurts doing well. Defensively, they're not good. As a matter of fact, their defense reminds me of Alabama's defense. They're just not good. They have a couple good players. You see some talent, yet collectively they don't tackle well. They bust assignments. So when I look at Baylor, they have built their team, oddly enough, around good defense. So you look at the overtime game against TCU, it was a 9-9 game going into overtime. So if there was ever a time that defense was played, it was in that game as opposed to any other game all week. But when you talk about now Baylor's offense, yeah, they'll get some points against Oklahoma's defense. They should get some points. And then now can Baylor's defense hold up against Oklahoma's offense? I want to say yes. I have to watch the film more, frankly. I just know that they've been good all season defensively. They pride themselves there, so they definitely have a chance to win.
He's a Saints Hall of Famer. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. He talks college football now and does it very well. Jonathan Vilma, man, we got to have you back. Appreciate it. Like the conversation. Thanks for making time for us.
No, thanks, guys. Anytime. See you Friday, Bobby.